We're very thankful this morning to be in the house of God and thank God for watching over us last night as we laid and slumbered and sleep. I'm thankful to be alive. How about you?
Amen.
And we welcome those who may not be members of the Church of Christ to our audience this morning, whether you're in the person here with us or you're online via the conference call or YouTube or Facebook Live. We welcome you to our services and we thank you for joining us on this morning. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, certainly the VIP of our audience, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Why is that, Brother Bruce? Because we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. And those who are saved will be in the church that's written about in the Bible. There's only one church in the Bible. A lot of people don't know that. And that church is referred to as the Church of Christ. And so we teach the doctrine of Christ. And as you experience in this morning's New Testament pattern of worship, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments or music, we will pray. Men will do the praying and leading and preaching, not women. And men does everything in the churches of Christ for us, leading. And we will take the communion, as you saw this morning. Then we do that every first day of the week, not on the first Sunday, but every Sunday. The day of the resurrection. Why we do it? That's how the Christians did it in the Bible. And so that's the pattern of the New Testament. And we give, we don't tithe, we give according as God has prospered us. So that's what you witness. Now to become a member of the Church of Christ, you must believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. How many of y'all believe that? Yeah, he suffered on that cross for 6 long hours and shed his blood to wash our sins away in baptism. That's where it all happens at, in baptism. You gotta be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then when you're washed in the blood, the Lord would add you to that one church. And that church is, again, the Church of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, today is ministry sign-ups for our congregation. And I thought I would bring a lesson this morning, put us in the mindset of a servant, and talk about the greatest servant of all. Hopefully, this lesson would encourage all of us to know who we are, and that we're servants in the Lord's kingdom. How many of you believe you're a servant?
Amen.
Yeah, you ready to serve the Lord?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got to be born again to serve the Lord. Now you can't serve him if you haven't been baptized yet. That's the beginning of serving the Lord. Amen. Making him your Lord and your master. So let's look at Jesus, the greatest servant of all. Let's look at a couple opening verses, Matthew chapter 23 and verses number 11 and 12, what the master says himself about being a servant and how he viewed a servant in the church, in his kingdom. The Bible says in Matthew 23 and verse 11,
greatest among you shall be your servant.
Now he said the greatest person among us would be the who?
Your servant.
A servant. You want to be great in the kingdom? What you got to do?
Serve.
Be a servant. Yeah, just serve the Lord. You're the greatest in the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. And whosoever, what he said,
shall exalt himself, shall be abased.
Yeah, yeah.
And he that shall humble himself shall be
exalted. So he's saying you got to lower yourself to be a servant. You can't be up high to be a servant. You got to lower. That's humility, what he's talking about. Now look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 24. And let's look at that one briefly. Just open it up so you can see first, the greatest among us would be a servant. The greatest servant of all was Jesus himself. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 20.
Verse number
24.
And when the 10 heard it.
When the 10 heard it, talking about the other disciples.
They were moved with indignation.
They were moved in indignation. Now this is the opening to this whole thing is that there were some of the disciples wanted the chief seat. All right, brother. And so the first thing we got to know is there's no chiefs in the church. Amen. They say they one want to be on the right hand, the other want to be on the left hand. They want to be up there. They want to be with the king. They want to be in the chief seat. That's one of the reasons we have none of them big old chairs up here in the pulpit. Amen, somebody. Yeah. It'll make you look like you got a king in the house. The only king of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every brother in here that serves the Lord in all these ministries, understand there's no big eyes and there's no little U's in the Church of Christ. Amen. Brother Brooks, I'm not a reverend or a father, none of that. I'm simply brethren trying to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And that should be the mindset of every brother in here. And I'm talking to the brother first because we take the lead on things. And listen what the Bible says now. He says that they were moving the nation against the two that wanted to be in the chief seat. But Jesus called them and said, what?
You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them.
Yeah.
And they are great exercise authority upon them.
Now they want to be the chief. Man, if you're a brother here, you want to have the chief seat, or you got to wear the towel, or you got to have the towel. You're looking for the chief seat. But here's what Jesus says now. He says this.
But it shall not be so among you. Among you.
All right. Jesus told his the first group of leaders that would go out into the world and preach the gospel with those men. He told them, this shall not be so among you. Amen. What was he talking about? You would not be seeking a high position as the prince of the Gentiles, a great authority, but it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, here's how you be great. Let him be your what? Minister. Mm-hmm. Serving is ministering. Listen to what he says. But whosoever will be chief. Now, if you want to be chief in the church, here's how you become the chief. Listen to what he says.
Let him be your servant.
Now, you want to be chief in the church? Be a servant. Amen. Y'all can say amen, brother. So you want to be a chief? What you got to do? Serve. Everybody in here understand. The chief seat belongs to the servants. Amen, somebody. Amen. Listen to what the Bible say.
And even as...
Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Now what Jesus said, I'm going to minister as a servant as well. He said, but to give his life, what?
A ransom.
He going to minister to the world, and the way he going to do it is he going to give his life. How many of you have given your life to serve the Lord? Have you given your life to serve the Lord? You do that when you say, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. You made him Lord and Master of your life. You've given your life to do what? To serve. That's what we're doing this morning. We're here worshiping God because we're serving God. Amen. Now let's turn to John chapter 13 and watch him set the example of what it is to be the chief, what it is to be the servant in the house. And listen to Jesus, verse 1, John says,
now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end.
All right, he loved all his own to the end. Now he know he's getting ready to die. Jesus know he's got to go to the cross. Now then the Bible says, and supper being ended.
The devil having now put
into the heart of who?
Judas Iscariot.
One of the men in the room with him is Judas. Which means Judas can be in the room, brothers, at any time with all of us. The saddest situation you can be in as a brother in the church, it be the Judas yourself. Because you are lost. And the saddest, we should feel sorry for Judas. Because Judas is getting ready to betray Jesus. The other men in there don't understand that Judas is getting ready to take Jesus down. Only Jesus know about Judas. Brother, every one of us in here should never want to be the Judas in the meeting. Because that's the saddest person in the meeting. Is this ringing the bell, brothers? This has to be heavy on the heart of Jesus to know. One of the ones that were his comrades would take him down. We must be aware of the fact that there will always be the devil in the hands of the work of the church. The devil will have his hand in the pot. He will have his place in the meeting. He'll have his place in the pew. He will try to take out the ministries. Should we be aware of Judas? Should we be okay with Judas? Or should we feel sorry for Judas? And that's because Jesus loves them. He loves Judas. He's dying to save the Judas of the room. He said, brother, why are you saying that? Because here's how he serves. He's getting ready to serve the very person who's going to betray him. And I don't know how many of us could do that. That we could go so to the Lord's state of mind that we're willing to love the very person who would kill us. That's a degree of love that God expects for us. Later on in this chapter, we won't get to it. He said, we are to love one another like I loved you. How did you love us, Lord? I gave my life to save you. So here it is. The setup for Jesus to demonstrate what it is to be a servant in the church or in the kingdom. Listen what he says.
Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands,
that he was come from God, and he went to God.
He rises from supper. Oh,
Jesus, he understood, he had full authority given to him by, he could have done something about that. But he knew his divinity was that, where he was God in the flesh. And he knew he had to carry out his Father's will. And you know, he gonna go to the garden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gonna go to the garden of Gethsemane, and he gonna ask his Father three times to let this cup pass. So he was experiencing what we will experience as humans. But then he would say, not my will,
but your will
be done. All right, brothers and sisters, every member of Hollow Heights that's listening, it's about doing the will of God to serve in a ministry. It's about doing the will of God to take the position of the lowest servant in the house and do everything we can to save the lost. The mission of the church, the reason we serve, is to save souls. Let's never lose sight of the mission of the church. The gospel was sent out to save the lost. Everything we do, every ministry we put in place will have the element of salvation must be present in it, because that's the mission of the church, to make known the manifold wisdom of God. To save souls. That's why you sign up. Because your soul has been saved. If you haven't been saved, you need to be saved. And then you need to serve the Lord. Because every one of us, understand, if we've been saved, then we have a responsibility to serve the world through ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Jesus says. He had the authority. Listen to what he said. The Bible says he rises from supper, the supper.
And laid aside his garment.
Uh-huh.
And took a towel and girded himself. And after that,
You kind of got to see the picture, right? If you don't visualize this setting, you won't get the impact of it. Visualize Jesus Christ being in here. He's a preacher this morning. Visualize him rising up from the supper table. We all sitting and rising up, putting his garment on, taking his garments, meaning his outer mantle, the robe off. And then took a towel. Can y'all see it? Can you see it? He takes this towel and tied around his waist. Who's in the room?
His disciples.
All of his disciples, including who?
Judas.
And so he gets up, put the towel on, and the Bible says after that he poured water into the basin
and began to wash his disciples' feet
and to wipe them with the towel with which he was
girded.
The Bible teaches us that the King of Kings, think about this, this is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, getting ready to wash dirty feet of his disciples. Now back then that was a custom because there was a master-slave relationship in homes. And so when people would come in, the lowest servant in the house, the slave for the master, would wash his guest's feet when he came into his house. It was customary. Never, never did the master wash the feet. Y'all get it? So master-slave, y'all understand master-slave relationship, right? Never, ever did the master take the low road. It was an act of hospitality and never done by a master at all. So Jesus is what we would say, the disciples are tripping out. Like, what? Watch the reaction of Peter.
Then cometh Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?
And you see, Peter got caught on real quick. Peter said, hold on, wait a minute. Master don't wash feet. What you doing?
Jesus answered and said unto him,
what I do?
Thou knowest not now.
You understand this, Peter?
But thou shalt know hereafter.
There's many people in the Lord, many brothers in the Lord's church, and I'm talking to brother because this is a leadership group that's dealing with this, that don't know what Jesus did that day. Are you going to be one of those brothers that catch it this morning? Jesus said, you don't know what I'm doing, but you're going to know later. Then he says, Peter said to him,
thou shalt never wash my feet.
They ain't having it. You're not going to wash my feet. That's all there is to it, Lord. I'm not letting you stoop that low. And watch what Jesus' response was.
Jesus answered
him. He said, I'll tell you what.
If I wash thee not.
If I don't wash your feet.
Thou hast no part with me.
You can't be in this leadership. So he's saying to him, you can't have no part in the ministry. Y'all get it? Now here's, I'm a pivot this on baptism first. Like, if you can't, be washed, and baptism is being washed, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism saves us, not to put away the filth of flesh, but answer of a good conscience to our God. Acts 22:16, arise while tarriest thou, be baptized, wash away your sin, call on the name of the Lord. So you can't be a part of the ministry at all if you haven't been washed.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to insert that in there right there, but that's not what he's teaching here in this text. Right here, the application is about these men who would go out and take this gospel to the world and the change of their mindset of who they were. Then he says this.
Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
So Peter comes and says, if that's the case, now this is a change of mind. It's called repentance. But Peter said, hold on. Did you just say I can't be in this group? If you don't wash me? You know, Peter said, hey, I want to be on the leadership team. That's where every brother ought to say. I want to be in lead. I want to take not necessarily the lead for my glory, but the lead for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And then he says, hold on, Peter said, look here, man, if that's the case, don't stop at my feet. While you wash them, go all the way to the top. Amen, somebody. See, Peter said, man, I gotta be in this group. I cannot. And that's what should be our mindset. We gotta do everything we can to get to heaven. How many of y'all feel like you're doing everything you can to get to heaven?
Amen.
How many of you are going to stay for the sign up? Or how many of you are going to go home like you do every Sunday? Right after the sermon. You got your communion. You got your bread and your juice. And you got your word from the Lord. Hey, let me say it again. You got what? You got your singing in. You got your communion. You gave what you probably call tithe, because you think you're going to get something back because you give. Some people do. You're going to hear the word. That's what you want. I need a word from the Lord this morning. But you're not going to serve. Yeah, yeah. So you can't, you know, here's what Peter said. Look here. I need all of it done. So you give your whole to the Lord is what I'm saying. To be a servant, you give your all. From the top to the bottom. From the bottom to the top. That's why you will be in a ministry. Because you've given your all. Come on, Brother Brooks, yeah. We give our all to make the check every Sunday, on Friday. We get up on time. We go to work on time. We put in the 8 hours. We go home. We get back up. We do it over and over and over because the reward comes on Friday. Why do we get up this morning and come over here? Because there's a reward coming on Friday? No, because the reward is out of this world.
Amen.
So we serve holistically. We give our life to the Lord. And so if you, oh, you said, Brother Brooks, I haven't got there yet. It's time to repent. Amen. You don't have long to live. People are leaving this world, you are.
Every day.
All of us need to be thinking about it. Yeah. It's time for you to give your all in service to the Lord. Don't you think so? Am I wrong? Am I right? You can't get to heaven just attending on Sunday morning and not doing nothing else. I know this is not a shout. So this is saying it's a placement sermon. Like, where's my place in the kingdom? Where's my place? Is it to be a preacher? Is it to be an elder? Is it to be a deacon? Is it to be just a member? No, our place in the kingdom is to be servants. Amen. Look at how Jesus, the greatest servant of all, look what he did. Jesus said,
he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Uh-huh. And ye are clean, but not at all.
Not all. Now he know there's one out of the 12 that's not clean. See, that Jesus had a power that we don't have. See, it was, if we had that power, we would know who was unclean in here, in their hearts. That means their focus is not on serving the Lord. They're being influenced by Satan. That's what happened to Judas. We'll see. He entered into Satan's heart. But Jesus said he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Now, church, all of us need to know that not everybody's clean.
Amen. It's still the truth.
But not everybody's clean. He could be standing right here in the pulpit. I didn't put myself out there. Did y'all know that? The reason the church is in existence is to save the Judas. Because they're not all clean. It's to give us a chance to be clean. We get baptized to be clean. We drink Lord's Supper to stay clean. And we serve because we've been cleansed. Amen, Brother Brooks. And that's where we are, Hollow Heights. It's time to serve. We don't need 1,000 people to serve. We got plenty.
Amen.
The church is universal. It's not just in these little four walls. The church is worldwide. It's plenty of servants to get the job done right here at this place for what we have, our portion of the world. But if you don't put your name in to serve, you're saying no to service. I'm not a servant. I have no intention to serve. Been in the church 30 years, never served. Just come to worship. You're not going to get to heaven doing that. It's about priority. You got to seek ye first the kingdom. Say, where are you at, Brother Brooks? I'm standing right here. That's where I'm at. Because every word I speak to you, I'm talking to me. And nothing matters until it's to you, for you, by you. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, this Brother Brooks is talking about me. I'm Judas. Because if you don't, Judas, you're going to die in your sins. But it won't be because Jesus didn't wash your feet. It won't be because he didn't love you. It was because you didn't repent. But all the other ones in there are going to serve. And guess what's going to happen to them? All them apostles who's going to serve are going to give their lives. They're going to die. Many of the disciples who followed Jesus gave their lives to serve him. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Now, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garment, verse 12.
And was set down again.
That means he washed Peter, John, Andrew, Judas.
Matthew.
He didn't exclude Judas. You know, we can love the worst of people because the worst of people is all of us. What you saying, brother? I'm saying the worst of people is all of us because all have sin. So there's no one worse off than me. Amen. And if I look at other people worse off than me, then I can't see me. Because I too can sin. Amen. Why y'all ain't saying amen? Because it's true, isn't it? Is it true? All of us in bad place. Man, can't none of us get to heaven without the blood? We can't get to heaven without serving our master who shed his blood. What do you think our job is? To honor him. To lift up his father. To glorify his father. Because Jesus was lifted up on the cross. And we lift him up through the way we serve. Jesus said, "Now you know what I have done for you?" He with a question mark. You see that? Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now he's going to explain to you. You call me master
and Lord. And you say, well so I am.
That's who I am. Jesus didn't know who he was. You know, you kind of got to know what role you got. He knew he was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He knew he was their master. But look what he says.
If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet.
He just put a common sense application to him. Now, if you know I'm your master, and I just did this for you, for each of you, then you ought to do it for each other. How many of y'all gonna get in here and wash your feet? Brothers and sisters, washing feet is just serving us all. Amen. If I serve y'all, Jesus said, y'all should serve each other. So when you put your name on the sheet, what you're signing up to do is to wash each other's feet. Not literally, but serving is simply washing. We got several ministries. Jesus said, I have given you what? an example. What he told Peter and them is what I just did is an example. And what you should do.
As I have done.
You do
you.
What I did. Who was he?
Man.
The greatest servant of all. Where will you be ranked at in the kingdom? Will you be considered the greatest servant of all among us? The greatest servant, the chief servant will be the one, the chief or the greatest will be the one who serves. Want to be great in the kingdom? Serve. So, brother, why serve it? Well, we got several of them. You know, you got a spiritual works ministry designed to give elders and men who desire to be elders, qualified or not, they want to do the work. That ministry is going to be taking care of funerals and it'll be the old relief as we knew it. Reach restoration, trying to get souls saved, trying to get members who have left the Lord to come home. And sometimes we need to make sure we understand what that means. They're lost. You say, well, brother, we lost a lot of members. If they're serving somewhere, they're not lost. It's a choice. And that's good. We love everyone. We want them to be where they can be saved. But if they are lost, we need to help them come back. Galatians 6:1. If a brethren be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restoration means get the lost back into the church. Not soliciting members to come back here. There's a difference.
Amen.
The solicitation is not necessary. That's a choice. But leaving people lost is not right. What is our goal in restoration? To save the lost. What is our goal in baptism? To save the lost. If you have a heart to serve people, to be there for the spiritual works ministry, that's the wrong one, for spiritual needs ministry, that's the one right there that's going to be taking care of people who are hurting, people who are bereaved, people who need food, people who are in nursing homes, sick and shut in people. That's the kind of people. I'm going to talk more about that in the congregation meeting. Spiritual works, but men who want to be deacons and they just, you know, they don't qualify to be deacon, but they say, hey, I got a heart to serve, bro. I don't have to have no title to serve, bro. I just want to do the work. Show me what a deacon would do. That's that one. They would take care of the building. They would take care of the facility. They would take care of everything, handyman kind of stuff. That's what deacons do. And I told the brother yesterday, brother, get your head up. Just because you made a messed up young in your life and you can't qualify to be able to do, it never stopped you from being a servant.
Amen.
Don't you get your head up and you be chief among us. You be great among us. Be the best servant you can be. Amen. Then we got the spiritual soul saving men. That's the one, those who want to develop preachers and men who want to save souls and help save souls and go out and preach the gospel. We're going to do it that way. And then we have what we call the spiritual, education men. That's developing teachers and women and men who want to be teachers and part of the education program. And then we're adding spiritual youth ministry to keep our spiritual kids spiritual. And that's all coming. But the emphasis in this sermon is this. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. Philippians chapter 2 is where I stop at. And let this lesson be yours because we got a long day, a lot of meetings. Philippians 2 and verse 5, Paul said, let this mind be in you. And I try to give you the mind of Christ in that setting, which is also in Christ Jesus. No, that we're being in the form of God.
Thought it not robbery
with the equal God.
God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant.
Was made in the likeness of men. Being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what?
Obedient
unto death. Unto death, even the death of the cross. He took upon him the form of a servant. What did he do? He died on the cross to save the world. The good news today to those who are listening, that God so loved you, he gave his son. His son came and lived among men for about 33 years. Amen, somebody. And he walked among them. He did a lot of good things in his ministry. He had his own ministry. He was about his father's business. However, the last 24 hours of his life, he had to go and face the cross. He had to face the whipping, the scourging. He had to wear the crown. He had to carry the tree. What was he doing when he was carrying the tree? He was serving. What was he doing when he was wearing the crown? He was serving. What was he doing when they drove the nails in his hands and his feet and hung him on the cross? He was, say it with me, serving. Who was he serving?
Us.
The world. And then all he asked us is, will you serve with me? How do you do that? Believe it, first of all. You got to believe he was on that cross. You got to believe without ever sinning that he died on the cross for your sins. How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
It's because this Bible tells us. And that he was on that cross for 6 long hours and shed his blood. John 19:34. They pierced him in the side. I came blood and water. That blood and water will clean you up in baptism. Amen. You got to repent. You got to believe. Then you got to repeat. You got to say, I have not been serving, brother. Today I will stay. I repent. Today I repent. I will come and give my life to the Lord and serve him the rest of my life. Today I'm willing to confess I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before these people. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. Matthew 10:32-33. Then you be baptized, as I've talked about all through the sermon. Acts 2:38, for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. It's required. It's commanded by Jesus. The greatest servant of all said, he go into the world, preach the gospel to them, tell them the good news, Tommy. If they believe it, baptize them for the remission of their sins.
Amen.
And I'll save them. The greatest servant of all gave the greatest plan of salvation that was ever given. Will you respond this morning to the message? Will you watch and say, well, I just want to be a Christian, Brother Bruce. But to be a Christian is simply to be a servant. To give your life to serve the Lord. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, not a member of the Church of Christ, there are no Christians outside the one church. Because the Bible doesn't tell us to attend a church of choice. It don't give us a choice. There's not but one church. So I say, I don't like that, but you got to take that up with God. Ephesians 4:4 says, there's one body. Amen, somebody. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, above all in you all. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:4-6. And Ephesians 1:22 tells us the body is the church. How many churches, Brother Bruce? One. Where to say that? There ain't one, Acts 2:47. The Lord said that. So you're not a Christian if not in the Church of Christ. And there are Christians in the Church of Christ. Remember this. There are some Judases in the Church of Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because they're sinners. Sinners have to obey and have to be obedient unto death. That's why the Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. You got to die in the Lord, which means die serving the Lord. Are y'all going to serve him? This morning, you said, Brother Bruce, who gonna serve him? Who gonna serve the Lord? Who gonna respond to the Lord? Those who love the Lord. Jesus said, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love God, you love Jesus, we want you to come. We're getting ready to sing a song of encouragement. We want you to come. Come to be a Christian. Come if you need to repent. If you need to make a confession. Confess your fault. Say, I've sinned, Brother Bruce. What are you saying to the church? And I ask you to forgive us. We'll pray with you and pray for you as we sing the song of encouragement.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Come
Christian.
Lord, I want.
How many of y'all want
to
be a Christian?
Be a Christian
in my heart.
In
sing with him,
my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving.
Oh, we need to love more.
In my heart.
We need to love more.
In my heart.
Anybody over here need to come to the Lord?
Lord, I want.
Give him your life
to
this morning. Give him your life. Wouldn't you do
loving
that? Why wouldn't you come this morning?
In my heart.
Come to him. Give him your life. Let him in your life. He's calling. Come to me.
To be more holy.